How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
An explosion in Iran. What we know. Reuters, two explosions along Iran's main south-north gas pipeline network caused by sabotage, according to the Iranian oil minister. I welcome Benan Bentaleblou, senior fellow of Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Iran is the bad actor. It's got its hands in every catastrophe in the Middle East. However, this reminds that there have been acts of terror against Iran over these years, most recently during a memorial for Soleimani, the slain leader of the IRGC's Al-Quds force. And that was blamed on the Baluchistan. Consequent to that, Iran launched an airstrike against Pakistani territory, Baluch. This, however, a very good evening to you, Benham. This is the North-South gas pipeline. Any guesses, any hints as to who authored this strike? Good evening to you.
A very good evening to you, John. Pleasure to be back with you. Listen, there's no shortage of actors. The Islamic Republic of Iran has earned itself the ire of many, whether it be ethnic and sectarian minorities that live quite literally on the geographic and social periphery of that country. Some, though not all of whom, are armed. In the past, there have been reports, particularly in the early pre-COVID era, I think 2017 or 2018, of Arab militant groups targeting oil pipelines in Iran's southwest. There have been acts of terrorism blamed on groups linked to Jundullah or Jaish al-Adl, which are designated U.S. foreign terrorist organizations in Iran's southeast. And you've had, of course, tension with Iran's Azeri minority and Kurdish minority in the northwest provinces as well. It's interesting that the exact location of the blast has not yet been reported as of, you know, this moment, be it in English or in Persian. But the pipelines do run for, yes, from, you know, south central to kind of north central provinces, so shy of the Caspian Sea and just before you get to the Persian Gulf. And the starting point for this is Iran's Charmahal and Bakhtiari province, where historically over 100 years ago, the British in the era of the Anglo-Persian Oil Company used to pay Bakhtiari tribes people who were essential in the constitutional revolution to protect oil pipelines. So there is a little bit of this history there. There are center periphery issues. There's also, again, low probably high impact because the regime did point a finger abroad that this could be a foreign intelligence service. Some might take the guesses at the moment of, you know, would it be Israel amid the post-October 7 military pushback? Though I do have, you know, friends in the region who have a good heuristic on this, and they say, when the regime says sabotage, know that it's an act of incompetence. And when the regime doesn't say anything, or in the end says it's a bureaucratic or, you know, management issue, it's likely a foreign intelligence service.
We move to the threat, surrogate threat throughout the region. There's a checklist here, and Benham is going to help me. We begin with the Kataib Hezbollah, which Benham tells me is Brigade of Hezbollah, but we're going to call it Kataib to differentiate from the Beirut mob. Army. There was a strike in West Baghdad within these last days. We're told three KIA in an SUV that they showed us on the video, and one of them was a commander of Kataib Hezbollah. This is the same unit that was mentioned during the strike on Soleimani in the winter of 2020, because in that vehicle, I believe it was at the Baghdad airport, was the commander or a commander of Kataib Hezbollah. So I believe this is the same organization. What is their mission for Iran? How completely does Iran control them, Benham?
Well, Kataib Hezbollah, or sometimes as we like to say for short here in Washington, KH, is really the tip of the spear when it comes to Iran-backed proxies in Iraq. If you remember, in the middle of the Iraq war, there was the JAM special groups, the Jaish al-Mehdi special groups. From a whole series of those special groups, as well as other Iran-backed forces in the middle of the Iraq war, where the regime in Tehran was trying to bolster the insurgency, came a series of actors, one of whom was KH, Kataib Hezbollah. That was actually the first Iran-backed Shia militia in Iraq to be put on the U.S. Foreign Terrorist Organization list. You have other groups as well that were more recently added, like Asayb al-Haq. You have Harakat Hezbollah Nujaba. You have Kataib Imam Ali and Kataib Sayyid Shuhada. And this, you know, constellation of Iran-backed proxy and militia forces both helps Iran puncture the Iraqi state, particularly the Ministry of Interior and the Ministry of Defense, but also function as a state within a state to carry out these proxy wars. You had between 165 to 172 different Iran-backed attacks using these forces against the U.S., be it in Iraq or Syria or Jordan. It is good news that the Biden administration is, you know, more militarily than ever before, pushing back and going after mid-level commanders. But this is going to have to be a broad and sustained campaign.
The Houthis, we have from the Jerusalem Post in these hours. UN fears U.S. designation of Houthis could harm Yemen's economy. The United Nations fears that a U.S. decision to return Yemen's Houthi rebels to a list of terrorist groups could harm the war-torn country's economy. War-torn is an overused term. The country no longer exists, as I understand it, from maybe even a decade ago when it was involved in a civil war, Sana'a versus generals. There was something called the Republican Guard, as I recall. Well, that country's gone. The Houthis dominate North Yemen and the capital, Sana'a. There is something that calls itself the Yemen government living in the south of the country, in and around the Gulf of Aden. However, what we're looking at is a broken land of, at one time, 26 million people. What is the Iranian hold or control or mastery or relationship with the Houthis, Benham?
Far be it from me to denude these various Yemeni forces of individual agency, local grievances, and local autonomy. But unfortunately, what the Islamic Republic has been so masterfully able to do across the failed states of the Middle East, across, you know, a line that I think back in Bram Stoker's Dracula talked about the broken battlements of his castle. Across these broken battlements of the Middle East, Iran has been able to find people with pre-existing grievances and arm them and sustain them and support them over time, because those local forces harbored a grievance and were willing to shoot at someone that Tehran wanted to shoot at anyway. Ultimately, when the Houthis overran Sana'a 2014-2015, they absorbed the missile forces of the former government of President Ali Abdullah Saleh. You have the Hadi government essentially in exile in Saudi Arabia now. That's what survived the Arab Spring in that country. And even before the Arab Spring, Yemen was the Arab world's poorest country. It is heavily reliant on international aid and UN aid, but this has long functioned as something as a human shield to denude any kind of foreign actors of pressure against what quickly became an Iranian partner and more recently an Iranian proxy in the Arabian Peninsula. So the Iranians need not get on the phone with the Houthis and jump and have the Houthis say how high, but they have materially sustained them and supported them over time. And to the tune of the Houthis now having the most robust missile arsenal in the entire acts of resistance, much more robust even than what Lebanese Hezbollah is able to use to threaten Israel with in the north. And the Lebanese Hezbollah is a group that Iran actually created. This is a group Iran instead co-opted.
Co-opted as in controlled? I know there's sensitivity to language here, but do the Houthis take orders from Tehran or do they work for cash? What is the exchange?
I don't believe the Houthis are a for-hire organization. Prior to the Arab Spring, even, I think in the 2011-2012 period, where there was ultimately a UN ceasefire resolution, prior to that period, the Iranians had tried to move the Houthi movement, which are Fiver Shiites, into the 12-er Shiite Khomeinist interpretation of Shiite Islam camp. That essentially failed. But what warfare with Saudi Arabia, Iran's partner, exposed the Houthis to was, what warfare with Saudi Arabia, Iran's enemy, I should say, exposed the Houthis to was sustained material support, that you saw the Houthis willingly move themselves politically, militarily, ideologically, much more so towards Tehran. So much more than command and control, think of an alliance system and intonation. One knows what the other wants, even though there is a major partner and a minor partner, even though there is a state actor and a non-state actor.
Bloomberg, within these last hours, Israel-Hezbollah tensions rise with strikes from Lebanon. Tensions between Israel and Hezbollah intensified when Israeli towns and an army base came under what appeared to be the fiercest attack from Lebanon since the confrontation began 4 months ago. The assault, presumed to be carried out by Hezbollah, prompted Israeli fighter jets to launch extensive strikes on the Iran-backed group's positions. Iran-backed. We recall from the first moments of the outrage of October 7th, there was debate as to whether Iran was part of the planning session that had happened, I think, a week before. Iran-backed. Does Hezbollah take orders from Tehran? Is this a cash relationship?
This is an ideological relationship, political relationship. Out of any other proxy, the Houthis are the ones, the Hezbollah in Lebanon is the one that is perhaps the most integrated into the security establishment. You even have memoirs from deceased IRGC commanders from earlier periods of the Syria war that talk about Lebanese Hezbollah's involvement in Syria, particularly after 2013, as almost treating it as an element of Iran's armed forces, of a proxy force in exile. And if you remember it during this period of time, because we are sensitive to language, there was talk of seeing these forces as something of a Shiite foreign legion led by Tehran. So if there ever is any actor in this constellation of forces called the Axis of Resistance that does take direct orders, you bet it could be Lebanese Hezbollah.
I'm speaking with Benhamen Talablu of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow. There are two major stories we need to attend. One, the suspect nuclear weapons program. Two, the ballistic missile program, proliferation. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.